All right, so I'm going to talk about what Canada has been doing it with respect to this thing called ACTA, or the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement. I have no relationships to disclose except with my wife, who's here. Okay, so there's lots of things that get counterfeited. Money, documents, consumer goods. We're hearing about parts for military aircraft. So counterfeiting is actually a real issue out there. How much it actually costs economies is really murky to figure out. There are all sorts of estimates, job losses, amount of money that the economy loses, amount of money that the Canadian economy loses. But when you actually look into where these figures come from, it's like going into a cesspool because there's no clear answer. But despite that, there is this move for this anti-counterfeiting trade agreement, which has been going on now for about 7 years. And this would be a multinational treaty. But what it actually focuses on is just one specific aspect of what counterfeiting could be defined as, and that is violations of intellectual property rights. So the targets of the agreement involve what can you violate IP rights about. So things like internet content, films, drugs, things like that. And it will eventually, if this treaty actually gets ratified, involve the setting up of an entirely new organization that is outside of existing forums like WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization, the WTO, the WHO, UN, all of that. This will be a separate organization, which has implications because, as you'll see in a minute, the number of agencies or number of countries that's involved with this is pretty small, and it excludes any of the low and middle income countries. So the ACTA was first proposed by Japan and the U.S. in 2006. Canada and a bunch of other countries joined the negotiations in 2006 and 2007. And then by the time official negotiations started in 2008, there were a number of other countries that were involved with this. But as you can see, aside from sort of Morocco and Mexico, they're all high-income countries. The negotiations, of course, are done in secret. Nobody really knows what goes on. This is just a quick summary of where the various negotiations have taken place around the agreement. So, with respect to drugs, which is the focus, the area that I'm focusing on, there are two issues that you can think about around drugs. And one of them is what's important to public health. And what's important to public health are things where you've got no active ingredient at all. This is deliberate. No active ingredient, the wrong one, dangerous ingredients, substandard, all of that, that impacts public health. However, ACTA has nothing to do with any of that. ACTA is just concerned with what would violate IP rights. So patents, trademarks, and one of the other concerning things is this third point, which is that ACTA would allow generic drugs that are transiting through a country, not destined for that country, but just in transit, being shipped from A to B and passing through C, to be seized. So, and that's actually happened in Europe. So in 2008, there was the Dutch customs authorities seized Losartan blood pressure medication while it was going through Rotterdam. It was being sent from India to Brazil, held up for 34 days. It was legal to manufacture it in India. It was legal to use it in Brazil, but under the European regulation, the European Union regulations, if a company claimed that it was violating its IP rights, and I can't remember who makes Losartan, but it doesn't matter, they were able to seize it and hold it. And that, in fact, has happened 19 times. And if ACTA goes through, it could happen in any of the countries that are involved with the agreement. So ACTA also has some other concerning clauses associated with it. So damages, they can exceed any economic losses that would have been suffered by the company that holds the IP rights. That may discourage generic manufacturers from producing products in the first place, because they're concerned about whether or not their product could be then seen to be in violation of ACTA if somebody is claiming patent infringement. It allows right holders to issue an injunction or request seizure of generics at short notice, and you don't require a judicial review before this happens, and there is not enough abuse deterrence. In other words, you can claim violations, and even if you're wrong, there's not much impact on you. So the other parts of ACTA are, although it may have a significant effect on developing countries, they're not involved in any of the negotiations around it. There is concern that although ACTA does have some maneuvering room, that developing countries will not have the expertise to be able to take advantage of that, or alternatively, that there will be pressure put on them by countries like the U.S. or the European Union not to use the flexibilities that are going to be in ACTA. I've mentioned this, chilling generic competition, because of concerns around it, which means only brand name drugs available at higher prices. And finally, if the developing countries do decide to incorporate ACTA, there are costs associated with that. So the Canadian government, as you saw earlier, has been involved in ACTA negotiations since the early part, and in Canada, the negotiations have also been secret. We don't know what the government, what positions they've been taking aside, but there are a few insights, because the Canadian government did hold a couple of roundtables with a variety of different organizations. The first one was in April of 2009, and people were suggesting that ACTA was not the appropriate venue for dealing with counterfeit pharmaceuticals, and that it should be done through an organization like the World Health Organization, where there's much better representation, where negotiations can take place in the open. The Canadian officials said that that wasn't necessary. They also said that they were committed to the issue of public health, and that they would work on falsified medications in other fora, but they didn't bother to identify any other fora that they are actually doing any of this through. Second consultation was held in 2009. Somebody raised the issue about seizures in Europe. Canada said that wouldn't happen if anything was in transit through our country, but on the other hand, they weren't going to do anything if this happened in another country like the Netherlands, as we saw. There was also concern about that ACTA The Canadian government said that ACTA can make a contribution against counterfeit medications by establishing international standards for trademark enforcement. But again, it's not going to deal with quality issues. And there was also some suggestion of removing, that Canada should push for the removal of pharmaceuticals from ACTA. But the Canadian government position was that ACTA is a non-sectoral trade agreement. In other words, it encompasses everything that can be counterfeited, and therefore it wouldn't be appropriate to lower, to remove a particular set of products. The pharmaceutical industry in Canada, this, the organization that represents the brand name products, their position reads not badly, but they don't really say what they think is are counterfeit medications. And it's probably likely, given other things that they have done in the past, that they're more concerned with IP violations than with substandard medications. So right now, ACTA was signed by a group of countries, Australia, Canada, Japan, New Zealand, Singapore, South Korea, U.S., and then some more signatures. But in fact, when it came up for a vote in the European Parliament, which is necessary to ratify the agreement, the European Parliament rejected it quite substantially. So the EU is now out of ACTA. Japan is the only country that's ratified it so far. And you need six countries to ratify. So assuming that the US is going to ratify, four of the additional seven countries are necessary. And this is just a map just showing you by color who's done what. All right, so the Canadian position on ratifying ACTA is, well, it's a long quote, but essentially what it says is, we think it's a good agreement and we're going to go ahead and ratify it. In March of this year, the government introduced legislation that would allow Canada to ratify ACTA. There seems to be pressure on the U.S. To do so. So this is a trade policy from the U.S. Sorry, to do so, the trade policy agenda, and this is a quote from it. The U.S. is saying, "Come on, go ahead and get it done." And currently, the Canadian legislation is being reviewed by a parliamentary committee. So just before I finish, I just want to point out that ACTA is just one aspect of the position, or one demonstration of the Canadian position when it comes to the trade-off between IP rights and expanding access to low-cost, high-quality drugs in developing countries. So we have South Africa, which was 1999 when the 39 multinationals took the South African government to court. At that point, Canada was neutral on that. They didn't take a position either way. Canada in Doha, Canada up until the actual meeting was opposed to any clarification or expansion of the rights of developing countries under the TRIPS agreement to make use of the flexibilities. After Doha, Canada passed legislation to allow for the export of generics to developing countries, but that legislation is quite weak. It's been used one time in 6 years. There's no appetite amongst the current government to rectify any of the weaknesses in it. So the legislation is essentially worthless. Canada, around non-communicable diseases, the high-level meeting that was held by the UN, I think in 2011, took a very regressive stance. And finally, there was a recent renegotiation of TRIPS exemptions for developing countries, and Canada's position on that was supporting the US position as opposed to the EU position, which, although not great, was certainly better than the U.S. one. So overall, when Canada has to make a choice, and this applies both to our current Conservative government and the previous Liberal government. When Canada has to make a choice, the choice has been stronger IP as opposed to better access. So the bottom line, ACTA will do nothing to combat drugs that are deliberately falsified or substandard. It may have a chilling effect on the production of generics. It could result in generics being detained, despite the fact that they're legal where they're being produced and where they're going to be used. Canada seems to be following the U.S. position on this, and ACTA is in line with what Canada has been doing, at least for the past 12 to 15 years, around IP and access. Thank you.